Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Let's pray together this morning. Father, I pray over the people of God. I thank you that your word declares that you give eyes to see and ears to hear. I thank you for unction with and by the Spirit of God today, so that the things that need to be said can be said, the things that need to be revealed can be revealed, and Father, may the things that need to be done can be done today. We thank you that we are hungry and desirous of you, and we thank you, Lord, for meeting every need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We'll be sure to give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for it all. In Jesus' wonderful name, and everyone that agreed with that said, amen. Well, I want to today continue our Inspired to Change series. At the beginning of this year, many of you will remember that we started this series that we did all of January of, and we actually did one more message in February. We did three in March, and now we're in May again, and we'll continue. So we have done a number of messages that I call Inspired to Change. And I believe that God gave me this assignment, and it was to inspire godly change in our lives and for all of us really to be wanting more of God in our lives. And so what I want to do is inspire a hunger for God and for the things of God. How many know that will never hurt you? That will only help you in your life. So inspiring a hunger for God and the things of God and more of God in our lives as we continue to pursue God and keep being changed by Him in our lives. That's the intent of this. So today what I like to do is begin by defining change for us. How many know that would be good? I hadn't done this in the prior messages, but today we want to define the word change. And, you know, most of us know what change is, but I want to give you some definitions of it. They'll put slide 24 up. It means to become different. Amen. To make someone or something different. To make radically different. To transform. To give a different position, course, or direction to. It also means to arrive at a fresh phase or to become new. And this is what being changed by God means and what it will look like and produce in our lives, these very aspects of change. So my desire is to inspire change for God in our lives. How many know that God never wants us to remain the same? No matter where we're at and how far we've come in God, there's always somewhere else. There's another step. There's more of God that we haven't experienced and more of Him that we can and He wants us to experience. So my desire is to inspire change for God in your life. Change that not only changes you, but actually will change the entire direction of your life for the good that God has planned for it. How many know that God has good plan for your life? He only has good plan for your life. And that may look different for all of our lives dependent upon the call and the plan of God in our lives, which you'll find out a little bit more about in a few moments. But nonetheless, He wants us to change. And it's about losing our plan and actually getting the plan of God for our lives. And so, you know, we can come up with our own plan. The scripture says in Proverbs 19:21, you can write that down. It says, many of the plans of a man's heart, but it is the purpose of the Lord, it shall stand. You know, either we're going to do our plan for our life, or we're going to find God's plan and do it for our lives. Now, we can choose, but we will never be truly satisfied the way that God designed us to be satisfied and experience the joy that we can have in our lives by walking in a close relationship with Him and actually finding and fulfilling the plan of God for our lives. Amen. And so it's all about, this change is all about losing our plans and actually getting God's plan for our life. And so the change I'm talking about can move anyone. Can move anyone. Anyone bound. Bound by addictions. Bound by things that didn't belong in the life. Or the people that are in the wilderness and stuck in repeated cycle defeat. Just like we read in the Old Testament with the children of Israel went through the wilderness over and over again by doing their own way, rejecting God's plan and refusing to believe and trust in Him. Having to know the change I'm talking about can move you from being stuck and in that wilderness of cycle of defeat to a place of personal victory and freedom in your life. And that is the change I'm talking about. See, change doesn't have to hurt. It can actually help. There may be some hurting on the way, getting the wrong out, but it's only to help you and to make you better. The change I'm talking about can move anyone from being settled in complacency. Maybe you're in here today and you really know that you're settled in complacency, or even from a place of lukewarmness, or even you could be in a backslidden condition, but you can be moved from that place to a desire and a hunger from God for God. This is the change I'm talking about, and God is more than able, amen, to change us. We just have to be willing to accept the changes and come to know what that looks like. And this is part of my assignment, to help us to see those things and move from where we're at to where God wants us to be. The change I'm talking about can move us from formal dead religion and the traditions of men that make the word of God of no effect. What do you mean formal dead religion? Well, I'm talking about where man's version of God is what you know. In other words, you've come to God through your own intellect and the way that you perceive you can come to God. You've created a God that's not the God of the Bible. And how many know that when we ever come to God some other way than the Bible, we've created our own God. And there's a whole world that's created their own God, but in their own version of God to salve their own conscience. But how many know that even if that's you, I was that person. The change I'm talking about can move you from that place of formal and dead religion where the traditions of man that make the word of God no effect can be broken off of our lives into a living, growing relationship with God and a life empowered by Him. And all of these types of changes come, listen, by our knowledge of God. And today, I want to share with you, if you're taking notes, like I always encourage you to do, you can entitle today's message, Inspired by the Knowledge of God. Inspired by the knowledge of God. The things we learn that God has done for us and that we have come to know about Him by experience inspires change in us. It's not just knowing something about God. It's having experiential knowledge of God that actually produces freedom in us and inspires an ongoing change. Because once we have a taste of God, as the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Once we have a taste of God and see that the miracles that He can do and the things that He does, it just inspires us to know that He's got more. And everything that is written was written for us, that through our knowledge of what He has said and shown us, that we can have those same things. And it comes through our knowledge of God. And the first change, listen, everybody say first change. The first change most of you have experienced, but let's start there today just in case there's those that haven't. Because see, what we must understand, even if we have, God is expecting us who are changed to know how to help others that still need to be changed. Praise God. And so let's talk about where all this begins. And the first change that God desires or wills in all of our life is salvation. And that begins with our knowledge of Him as well. How many know everything begins with our knowledge of Him? Everything that is of God begins, has to begin with a knowledge of Him. And that certainly would be true concerning the saving of our soul, or what the scripture calls being born again, or being saved, or experiencing the salvation that God has for us. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bible to John chapter 17, and we want to read this from verse 3. This is wonderful what Jesus said here. This is a prayer that Jesus prayed. He said, "And this is life eternal." Or you could say, "This is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God." There's a God there, but there's only one. The only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. God is the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God manifested in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All three co-equal and co-eternal with God. And notice again, this is life eternal, that they may know thee, or have a knowledge of the only true God in Jesus whom thou hast sent. Notice here, as we read from the Passion Translation, how it words it. Eternal life means to know and experience you as the only true God. See, God's, this word know or knowledge is always implied that God wants us to experience Him. Amen. Not just casually know about Him or to know Him in theory. We are to experience Him and His power. And in this case, we'd experience eternal life. And it tells us how we can experience eternal life or salvation and be saved. Eternal life means to know and experience you as the only true God, and to know and experience Jesus Christ as the Son whom you have sent. Notice how the gift of eternal life in salvation is connected to us personally knowing Jesus Christ. Amen. So the gift of eternal life in salvation comes one way, through our acceptance and faith in Jesus Christ, and it's resulting in us actually getting to know Almighty God Himself. And God wants us, here's what we need to know, He wants us all to have a personal, intimate, growing relationship with Him. And this is the purpose of salvation, not just getting us to heaven. As wonderful as getting to heaven is, the purpose of salvation is more than just getting us to heaven. It's about us having a personal, intimate, growing relationship with Almighty God. Knowing God, according to this verse right here, is the result of eternal life. And truly knowing Him, you know what it does? It changes us. You can't really know Him and not be changed. You can come your way and not be changed, but truly coming His way will change you. Because He says, if you'll love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll do it my way. You'll accept it my way. You'll allow what I say to change you. You'll lose your way to find His way. You'll lose your life. You have to find eternal life. And this is the purpose of eternal life, us knowing God. And the result is it always changes us. Now, listen, now once we are saved, real godly change or real godly changes in the life of the believer comes from having a precise knowledge and clear understanding of who God is and what He has done for us through Jesus Christ, and how these truths affect and change our lives forever. That's why when we come to know who He is, what He's done for us, we're inspired by our knowledge of God. Really knowing Him will not only inspire us, but also change us, and will cause us to want to know Him more. In the process of knowing Him, wanting to know Him more, then we'll continue to be changed. It is impossible for us to stay the same and be desirous and hungry for God. And this is what God wants us to be inspired to do. But one of the reasons why, because that we may not be, is because life in general bogs us down. Things in life get our attention. And where our attention goes, the power flows. So if our attention goes on worldly things, then the worldly things have our attention, and the power of that draws us into that. But on the same time, if our attention is on the things of God more than the things of this earth, then the things of God draw us and have our attention. And when they do inspire us and inspire change in us. Because it's impossible to really meet God and know Him and not want more of Him. And if we're afraid of Him, there's a heart issue. There's either wrong thinking and a heart issue, or we haven't come to know Him yet, because He's revealed Himself as a Father. And many times people, when they hear that, because maybe they grew up without a father or with the wrong father figure, when they hear that Father God, they get this picture in their mind that He's mean, that He's judgmental. But He is not. He is the one who planned the great plan of redemption. He is the one who sent the Son and now has sent the Holy Spirit to come live on the inside of us, to reveal the Son and to show us the plan of the Father, and to reveal the love of God that He has for a lost and dying world, and whom He sent His Son to redeem and to save, so that we can really know Him. And truly knowing Him changes us. And we are inspired by our knowledge of God. Amen. Maybe the Apostle Paul illustrated and said it best for us. Philippians chapter 3, if you turn there with me, we're going to read three verses, verse 8, verse 10, and verse 11 from the Amplified Translation. This is what the Apostle Paul said about this. He said, "Yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness and surpassing worth and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and of progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding Him more fully and clearly. For His sake, I have lost everything, and I considered all to be but mere rubbish, refuge, dregs, in order that I may win or gain Christ, the Anointed One." Woo! Verse 10 goes on and says, "For my determined purpose is that I may know Him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from His resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share in His sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into His likeness, to His death in the hope." Verse 11, "that if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead even while I'm in this body. So this is telling us through a personal, intimate, growing relationship with Jesus Christ, we are transformed from who we used to be and to who God made us to be. We leave the darkness of spiritual death and experience eternal life. And through the resurrection of Christ, the same power that raised Him again from the dead, He laid down His life that He may take it back up again. And when the Holy Spirit raised Him up from the dead, so the Scripture says, the moment that we made Jesus Christ the Lord of the life, that same power that raised Christ from the dead raises us up from darkness, from spiritual death, and we receive eternal life, and we too have the life of Christ. And now from that place, we can actually know, we can perceive and know God intimately and in an increasingly way, so that our life is forever changed. Can I get amen? Paul's change here and continual ongoing change. So he talked about a change, but here's the thing. We have been changed, but Paul didn't stop there. He says, I'm thankful for what's happened, but I'm so addicted to Christ now, I want everything that He has. And I realize that He's given it all, but I gotta come to see and know it all, so I can experience all this, because it's in that place that I am who God, and I live out what God wants me to live out. So he's saying in here, Paul's change and continual ongoing change and fire was inspired, how? By his knowledge of God. By his knowledge of God. Knowing who God is and what God had done for him inspired his desire and passion for God, and it will be the same for you and I. This is why I'm talking about today being inspired by the knowledge of God, because it was designed to do the same thing in us as it was done for the Apostle Paul. It will not only radically change and transform us, but set us on an entirely new course and direction too, the one that God actually has for our life. Yes, we need encounters with God. I'm thoroughly convinced that encounters with God, every person needs. Let me give you, what are you talking about, encounters with God? Well, let's just talk about the Apostle Paul. He had a great encounter with God on the road to Damascus. It changed him forevermore. But it didn't stop there. And an encounter that you and I have all had in our life, if we know Jesus as the Lord and Savior, it's called salvation. But like Paul's road to Damascus experience where he got saved, whether we had a road to Damascus experience or not, we had an experience with God and we got saved. Listen to what I'm getting ready to say right now. Yes, encounters with God do change us, but it's our knowledge of God that keeps us wanting more of God, both inspiring and empowering continual and ongoing change in our lives. So it's what we do with this book. It's what we find out. We get our knowledge of God from this book, is one means. And as we read this, this inspires an ongoing change. We're not, as wonderful as salvation is, we haven't stopped at salvation. Knowing that heaven will be our home, but in heaven may be our final destination, but salvation wasn't just about getting us to heaven. It was about us having a growing, intimate, personal relationship with Almighty God through the person of Jesus Christ. It's our knowledge of God that keeps us wanting more of God. It is impossible to get in this book with an open heart and an open mind and see what God has done. If by the power of the Holy Spirit, God reveals what He's done to us, it should cause a hunger and a thirst in our lives. It should inspire and empower continual and ongoing change in our lives. Whenever God Himself and the things of God become real to us, they motivate change and we're inspired to change. What we come to know He's done for us and giving us keeps us inspired and hungry for more of Him. This is why we must talk about God, who He is. This is why we must talk about what God has done. He is the God. He is in heaven, but He's here by His Holy Spirit. And He doesn't want us just to view Him as the God of celestial heights. He wants us to view Him as the God that's with us, the ever-abiding presence of Almighty God. He is here. And not only is He here with us, but now as New Testament believers, He's in us. He's with us and He's for us, but He's in us, glory to God. And that changes us, that inspires us when we know that, when we come to know what He's actually done for us and given us, it keeps us inspired and hunger for more of Him. It should inspire us to want everything and pursue everything that God has for us. That's what it's designed to do. And this is why we're talking about this important fact, inspired by the knowledge of God. Here's another great example of being inspired by the knowledge of God, what it's intended to do. We find it in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 through 23. Most of you know this is a divinely inspired, or you could say it like this, a divinely inspired prayer that the Spirit of God gave the Apostle Paul. It's recorded here. It's how he prayed for the church. This is a Holy Ghost indicted or inspired prayer. If it was true for the church of Ephesus, happen to know it would be true for the church of CFC. It's the true for all ages of the church itself. It was actually for us to see something. To see what God has already given every believer. You know, most of the time, why don't we just read this? We got time to do this. Paul said, I cease not to give thanks for you in my prayers, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. We're going to come back there in just a moment. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance of the saints. Everybody say calling. Everybody say inheritance. And it says, go the next verse, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power. Everybody say power. To us what who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. This prayer is a prayer that you and I can pray for ourselves, and we should be praying for ourselves daily. This is a prayer not for us to get something. This is a prayer for us to see what God has already given us. See, so many times we spend time in prayer that we're asking God to give us things that He said He's already given us. This is not a prayer for God to give us something. This is a prayer for us to see what God has already given us. Amen. And notice in verse 17 where it's focused, and notice the phrase, the Spirit, may God may give it to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Everybody say in the knowledge of Him. Why? Because God knows the knowledge of His will inspire change in our lives. It will not only cause us to want Him, but it will inspire the change and allow Him to do in us surrendering to Him. Not only it will show us what God has done, but it helps us to receive, because it's when we know that He's done what He's done that our faith says, "Oh God, I thank You for being who You are in my life. I thank You for what You've done. And Lord, I thank You for opening my eyes that I see it. I'm not begging You for these things. I see these are the things that I need in my life. You've already provided for me." So these three things that the Scripture reveals that we're to pray, this has caused us to see what God has already done and given us, and they focus around three important things. And it all comes by a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him comes by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the author of this book. This is why when we read this book, the Bible, God's love letter to us, we need to pray to Him and ask for this, a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, so that we have eyes to see and ears to hear of what God has already given. So we're no longer begging God to do what He's already done. We're just seeing what He's done, rejoicing in it, receiving it, and learning to walk in it. And then being changed by that, being changed by the knowledge of God and inspired by the knowledge of God to go deeper and more and come back day in and day out. Because what else is hidden for us? What else is there that I need to see? God wants to reveal it all because because He's already given it all. He just wants us to see it and know it, receive it, and walk in it and be changed by it. So let's talk about the three areas that God focuses here about change and about He wants us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. These three areas that He wants us to see, it begins with the call of God. Everybody say the call of God. What do you mean the call of God? He wants us to know the call of God. Well, this word call here in the Greek means a calling, a condition, or an employment. How many know that there is a divine, it actually means a divine call or invitation. It actually is talking about one who receives a divine call. So God divinely calls you into something where which He employs you to action to do His will for your life. We find this same word throughout the New Testament. A great example of this is found in Romans. You can just write this down. Romans 11 verse 29, where it says, "Concerning Israel, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance." That just means this: although Israel at that time failed in their divine purpose or their assignment, God said, "I have not reneged my call, my invitation, or my employment with them, and it will be fulfilled. I will deal with them again so it can be fulfilled on those that will obey it." Now, God didn't make robots. He made us free moral agents. And so that we can know what God's will is by what His Word says, because His Word is His will. We can know what His Word is, what His will is. We can know what His will is by knowing what His Word is, but He still won't make us do it. We are free moral agents. We can reject the will of God just like the majority of the nation of Israel did then. Not everyone, but the majority did. This is why He says that the gifts and callings of God are with repentance. God will never change His mind. Who He calls and who He invites, He didn't change. Just because we messed up, just because there could be many things, maybe in our own lives, we have done things our way. God is just waiting for us to surrender to His way. This call is a divine invitation. Not just the salvation, it begins there, but there's a call on our life to a divine invitation to know His plan. Amen. And in receiving that call, then He employs us to do something for Him. Our greatest challenge is not to be so far behind Him or reject it and not be too far out ahead of him. Because man has a will of doing his, have a way of doing his own will, his own way, getting out ahead of God. Well, God, I perceive I'm supposed to do this. So we just jump on out and do it. Well, that may or may not be what God said. In other words, God may say it, amen, a specific thing to our life, but we need to pray about the timing of it as well. Now, if you're going down the street and God says, go talk to that person, you ain't got to pray about that. Just go do it. But when you perceive in your heart a call of God or assignment of God upon your life, just because you have an assignment doesn't mean that you know exactly how to walk all that out and how to do that and when what God is saying. That's going to require time in the Word, time in prayer, and then God will lead and guide you. But know this, it's accepting the call and knowing this, if you missed it, God hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't rejected what He wants to do. Come on, sis. He hasn't rejected what He wants to do in your life. I'm talking to somebody today that thinks because they missed it that God, their opportunity, their call, their assignment has been forfeited. I'm here today with good news to tell you that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. He haven't pulled back the gifts. He haven't pulled back the calling. It is still there. He's waiting for you to pick yourself back up and come God's way and say, God, I'll do it your way. You just lead and guide me. I accept it. I am yours and I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. Everybody say the call of God. Hallelujah. In short, it's the invitation. Yes, it is an invitation to salvation. But once you're saved, oh, it's about an employment. It's about a divine invitation to do something in service to Him. And it's from our close relationship with Him that is built and that overflows and that is carried out correctly in our lives. It's only through a close relationship with God that we'll ever accomplish the call of God in its fulfillment and its power. Hallelujah. And you'll never, ever be able to stop feeding your faith or continue to be hungry for God and seek the knowledge of God, because that's going to continue want us to change and do the will of God. Number two, the inheritance of God. We see here in the next verse, in verse 18, and it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. And what is the riches of His glory in the inheritance of the saints? God wants us to see the inheritance that He's provided for us. In other words, what He has given us. Jesus died to provide so great an inheritance for us. And yes, it in salvation, it's all inclusive. In other words, everything, that was the doorway for all God's blessing. Amen. Ephesians 1:3 says it like this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath present tense or future tense or past tense. Past tense, who hath already blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Notice it's called heavenly blessings because that's the source of them. Heaven is the source of all God's blessing, but God wants us to have that inheritance right now. It belongs to us right now. He said, I want you to see this. I want you to see the inheritance that has provided for you. Not only does salvation been provided for mankind, but healing has been provided for mankind. Prosperity has been provided for mankind. The baptism of the Holy Spirit has been provided for mankind. It touches every inheritance, touches every area of our life. It touches us socially, mentally, financially, come on, relationally, physically, spiritually, every area of our life is touched by the inheritance of God. That's what God wants us to know, and He wants us to see it. When we see it, we're not only inspired by this knowledge, we're inspired to change. We're inspired by this knowledge. And we're inspired. We say, it's when we know what God has given that we wake up and say, I can have that. And I'm going to obtain that. I'm not going to do without. Devil, take your hands off. Now this goes to the next part that we're going to go. The power. Let's read the next verses. Amen. The next verse of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Let's read that if we could. Amen. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Everybody say power. To us would who believe. Where's the power to go? To you and I that believe. Believers experience the power of God. Doubters don't. Believers do. We're all believers. Look at your neighbor and say, wake up, believer. Praise the Lord. Look at your other neighbor and say, hello, believer. Say this with me. I'm a believer and I'm not a doubter. God calls you a believer. The devil wants you to doubt, because if you doubt, you'll do without. If you believe, you can receive. And notice, this is the third area that God wants us to see. He wants us to see the power that's in and for us that believe. Matter of fact, I believe the Amplified says the immeasurable, unlimited, surpassing greatness of God's power. In and for us that believe. It's according to the working of his mighty powers, the same that he wrought in Christ when he raised him up from the dead. You know, it took more power to raise Christ from the dead than it even did for God to create this whole universe. Because in raising Christ from the dead, he broke the powers of darkness for eternity over mankind, and all the human race could be restored and brought back to God by the power of the resurrection of Christ. And in this power that raised us from the dead and made us sit together with Christ in heavenly places. Amen. And notice here is this power that's in and for us who believe. Everybody say power. This same word is found in Acts 1:8, where it says, Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The word power means to be able, of power, or capable. How many know that you are able, capable, and of power? Look at your neighbor and say, he's preaching to you right now. But do you see yourself that way? This is why this prayer is prayed. So that not only you would know it, but you see yourself that way. Because too many people, you know what they see? They see all their mistakes. They see all the things that they aren't doing. They see all the things that have gone wrong. They see and they live in the past instead of in what God says about them. This is why this word is to be a spiritual mirror. You know, look in this word is like, James chapter 1 says this word is a spiritual mirror. If you want to see what you look like naturally, look in a mirror. But if you want to see how you look to God and how you look spiritually, you got to look in this book. It's called The Spiritual Mirror. And see, this is what God says. He wants you to see. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. This same power makes you capable and able. Amen. It enables us to do what this word says. And you shall be witnesses. Everybody say witnesses. Unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. In other words, we have power to fulfill the Great Commission. You know that's our assignment? The proclamation and the demonstration of the gospel is our assignment. And God is saying, I wish you would see. I wrote this so you could see what I've already given you. Be who I say you are. Receive what I say I've given you. Come on. But too many people are living by how they feel. They're living by their past. They're living by their natural man. They're living by their feelings. Come on, this is why you got to preach it. Because you'll never be it without preaching it. Without hearing what God says is yours, you will never rise to that level. This is why we must talk about it. And this is why we're inspired by knowledge of God. Because when we know that God says, I want you to see the power that I've given you. In other words, the authority that you have as a believer. As you submit yourself to God, you can resist the devil and say no to him. You say, get out of my body. Get out of my mind. Get out of my life. Take your hands off my finances. Take your hands off my body. Get out in Jesus. Take your hands off my family. Come on, you got to get excited about the things of God, but you got to get mad at the things of the devil, and you use the power of God to do it. Amen. This knowledge of these things inspires us both to know God and be changed by His powerful truth. Know and see. See, this is why I encourage you. If you're not praying this prayer, Ephesians 1, 16 through 23, put your name in it. And you should be praying this prayer, if you're part of this church, for the rest of the congregation. Pray for yourself. Pray for the congregation. Pray for me. Praise God, just like I pray for you and pray for myself. Insert your name in this, not that we need to get something, but see what we've already gotten and begin through that knowledge and application of it, begin to walk in the call of God. Start saying in your life, I'll not miss the perfect will of God for your life. Say it. I know I've said this for years. Chris and Debbie Morgan will not miss the perfect will of God for our lives. You can't be what you don't see. I see it. I can do the will of God because God says I can. We'll not miss the call of God because there is a call of God. But we all have a call of God and we don't have to miss it. And part of not missing it is surrendering to God and saying, I'm not going to miss it. I'm going to do what God says to do. I'm going to be who God says I am. I'm going to think that way, talk that way, act that way. You might not be perfect in it, but when you miss it, you pick yourself back up and you look in the mirror again and say, oh, glory to God, that's who I am right here. Praise the Lord. And you look a whole lot better in Christ than you do out of Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the call of God, the inheritance of God, and the power, the authority. It's what we know and believe about God that changes us. And this is why we are inspired by the knowledge of God. See, when I talk about these things, it should produce an inspiration to know God and to know more about God, to want Him in our lives. But see, what the devil tries to do is block it by all kind of sin and all kind of other things so that we don't think we qualify. But let me tell you something. If God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, He gave His Son for everything. For everything, for you to have the call, have the inheritance, and have the power of God upon your life. And it's what we know about God and what He's done for us that inspires us to change. So I want to leave you with some things. I want to leave you with some thoughts and some things that we know. We're gonna finish today by this. So slide 25, some things we know. Some things we know. Listen to me before you read it, and we read it together. Not things we hope so. These are things that the Scripture says we know. Are you ready for them? This is just a few of them. Things we know inspire us. We're inspired by the knowledge of God. Things we know inspire us. By God's Word, we know. Everybody say, we know. Here it is, that we pass from death unto life. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. I'm going to go through them. Are you following along with me? We know, everybody say we know, that we know Jesus. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. We know that we are of Him. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. We know that Christ was manifested to take away our sins. 1 John 3, 5. We know that we are of the truth. 1 John 3, 19. We know that He lives in us by the Spirit which He's given us. 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. We know, everybody say we know, that because we have Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. 1 John chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. We know that we are of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. We know Him and the power of His resurrection. Philippians 3:10. We know whom we have believed and are persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him against that day. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. We know the love of Christ that passes human knowledge. Ephesians 3:19. Can I get an amen in here? Let me give you a couple more that's not up here. We know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. We know the things that are freely given to us of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, and we know that we have not been redeemed by corruptible things like silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 28. Come on, Brother Ryan, help me in it. Everybody say, I know. See, these are things that we know. As believers, we know this is not a hope-so, not a maybe-so. Oh, I'm a hoping and a praying-so. I know so. I know so. The Scripture says we can know it. And these are the things that inspire us and inspire the change in our lives. And today, I have come to inform every believer of their rights in Christ. These things belong to you. Believe it. They belong to you. Just believe it. Just accept it. I've come to inform you of it. If you didn't know it, it's like coming to the reading of the will. Most of you do know it. But this is why it's so important, because we come and we hear what belongs to us. We hear our rights, our privileges. We hear what God has given, so we can say, bless God. The devil can't defeat me, because he can't deceive me. I know what belongs to me. I know my rights in Christ, and I believe it. And just like, listen, I've come to inform every believer. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm closing. Just like I've come to inform every believer of their rights in Christ, I've come to inform every unbeliever of their rights as well. Because we have our own free will to choose Christ. We have a will to reject Him or to choose Him. Nobody may ever told you that. But did you know that Christ died so that you could have salvation? Christ died so the very things that we talked about knowing and that God has given, we could experience. You don't have to. I've come to inform every believer that you do not have to stay lost, that you can be forgiven and saved and changed by God too. Your right of choice can make you part of the family of God, and God wants you to become a part of His family. I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm asking you to be a part of the family of God. I'm asking you to become a child of God. How do you become a child of God? As many as received Jesus Christ, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God. It's through our faith in Jesus Christ, and only through our faith in Jesus Christ. He is the door to salvation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. If we want to be saved, and then all the wonderful inheritance that salvation brings with it begins with Jesus Christ. See, the devil has tried to do everything to keep you from receiving Christ. So, and he's most definitely tried to keep you from knowing what Christ has done and the things that he's done for you and how he loves you with the everlasting love. I'm here today to tell you, to inform every unbeliever. That just simply means any person that has never made Jesus Christ their Lord in their life, that you have a right to salvation. You have a right to heaven. You have a right to eternal life. You know, in this world that we live in, it's funny that people will fight for their rights, that are here today and gone tomorrow, and matter diddly many times. but they refuse to fight for what's eternal. And one reason why they refuse to fight is either because it's two reasons, either deceived or they don't know it. And here today, this is why I inform you of your right to salvation. You have a right to salvation. All you have to do is receive it. And say, I choose Christ. By choosing Christ, you choose salvation. And from that place, you can know these things that is God has done for you, and you can have peace with Almighty God. See, I want to leave us with this thought. Put up, if you would, in the back again, John chapter 17, verse 3. For Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, in whom you have sent. Eternal life comes through knowing God and accepting Jesus Christ. This is a gift. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Today I invite you to that right. The right of Christ. It belongs to you. It belongs to every lost sinner. No matter what you've done or what you call God, this belongs to you. If you will turn from your way and come God's way, and His way is only Jesus Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I pray today